Time to take a look now at rail safety issues in Wisconsin with Rod Cruden, Wisconsin's Commissioner of Railroads. Always fun to have him with us. And he's back again to answer your questions. And certainly if you want to join in, the number to call is 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Rod, welcome back. Nice to have you with us
good
again.
Good to be with you. As we'd say, a lot of trains have gone under the bridge since we've talked with you last.
Yeah,
it's a busy time.
It's a busy, a really busy time, and really happy to have you back. There were two freight train derailments near Edgerton this year. Some people think that rail line is in terrible shape and needs to be fixed immediately. What do you think?
Well, I've been down there. That's the old Milwaukee Road, and at one time that was our passenger route to Chicago, and that handled 80 and 85-mile-an-hour trains. It sure doesn't now. The Wisconsin River Rail Transit, which controls that track, it's owned by the state, rebuilt that. They purchased it from the Milwaukee Road out of the bankruptcy in the mid-'80s, and it was in less than Class 1 shape, which means that you couldn't go more than 10 miles an hour. It was then rebuilt to FRA2, which means you could go 25 miles an hour, which is about the minimum we want to put our freight cars on. Well, this is in the town of Fulton, where the mishap was, right near North Rock River Drive, and there's a wonderful citizen out there that's been very patient, Dave Markson. Well, February 16th, there was a major derailment, and I do mean major. The railroad has indicated it cost of $1.2 million. I had my man Tom Clowder down there to look at it. That morning, he was stunned. He hadn't seen that much stacked up. Eventually, 14 cars had to be scrapped out. This is an expensive mess. We were down there, talked with the residents. They were very concerned, and they should be. We've looked at other parts of that line, and I think we would use the term marginal at best to describe it. The WSOR has a contract with Wisconsin River Rail Transit and the DOT to keep up the track to FRA2. My observation was, and I have no legal control over this, it hasn't been kept up like it should have. And as we got to know Dave Markson, he's a retired man out of Chicago, and fortunately very rational, he called me on a Saturday night. "Uncle Rodney, it's Dave Markson. They've spilled another train." I'll tell you, I've been around this industry 50 years, and I've never seen a spill in the same spot within 2 months. In this case, derail tore up all the track that they put in. Now, granted, when you repair track in February, it's only temporary. But what a mess, and of course it blocked off. They're on a dead-end drive there. Mm-hmm. The railroad did get that opened up. It took several days, and they still hadn't cleaned up the mess before. It's something we would like never to see happen again, and Dave Markson led the town of Fulton to have a resolution passed on to the governor requesting that the Federal Railroad Administration start a mile-by-mile inspection of this whole line, and I think it needs to be done. And since then, the management of the Wisconsin Southern has indicated that it's not a matter of if there's going to be another spill, it's where and when. That scares me. Remember, we have no statutory control. We're exempted from doing anything by the feds. So we do work very close with them. I gave them reports right after that. They're now looking to the state for money to keep it up. That's a whole separate political issue. But the Class 1 railroads we deal with, like the Canadian Pacific, Union Pacific, Burlington Northern, Canadian National, they never let anything like this happen. You can't. It's too costly. The liability, the problems. But our regional railroads sometimes aren't funded as well, and you're hauling bigger cars, you're hauling heavier cars. This is a symptomatic problem in the industry. The infrastructure is aging. You and I are even aging.
Yeah, we are. You know, speaking of it, well, Dave Zweifel, he's aging too a little bit, the good guy from the Capital Times.
One of the best.
Yeah. He had an article this last week or so on, this was on rail crossings.
Yes.
It was kind of interesting because he said there are more than 240,000 at-grade railroad crossings in the United States, roughly 20,000 of them in Wisconsin and Illinois. But then he says some 333 million cars and trucks cross railroad tracks every day of the week. And despite the signs, the signals, even the barriers, gates, someone gets hit by a train every 120 minutes.
Yeah, what amazes me, and in my 11 years at this, I'm an old mechanical and process engineer. I saw this traffic building. So I'd go out and I'd follow each rail line. Sometime my family would wonder where I was for days, look at every crossing there was. We started with the Wisconsin Central, which was the old Sioux line, roughly above Antioch. Drove back and forth. We'd talk to the town chairman. We'd talk to the people. We'd get into western Racine County, Kenosha County, Waukesha County, Washington. I saw increasing urbanization. Areas 25 years ago, Larry, were maybe there were 4 to 6 trains a day. There are now 28, 30, 32 at 60 miles an hour. They used to be at 25. Big homes, areas, school buses, propane trucks. We just have a geometric problem building towards us. So my process approach was the trains that are leaving Burlington, for example, heading north up through Honey Creek and McWanago and into Waukesha, they're going to go through every crossing. They don't skip any of the crossings. So we'd pick out those that had the greatest need, and because we had very limited signalization money. We worked through a program where we got new crossbucks that reflected better. 3M worked with us on that. And at DOT, Bureau of Harbors and Railroads, they helped us administer it. I've got a staff of 4.5 plus myself, and I can't do 100 hours anymore. I'm way over 70. Let me tell you, after 9 or 10, I get weak at the knees. But these little things and the cooperation we've had, and the crews love it, because the biggest victim is the crew that has to stare at this. But now we've taken these routes. We've got a lot more signalization. We've got LED lights, light-emitting diodes that cuts right through the fog. And our other program we've started on is crossing elimination, crossing closure. The Federal Railway Administration, about the time I started, the mid-90s, issued a request. It couldn't be a mandate, but to remove 25% of the existing crossings. We couldn't believe that. We have 4,133 crossings in the state, public. By the end, the middle of July, we'll be down to 4,131, 22nd and 23rd streets, with the help of Vince Marchetti and the group in the town of the Cedar being closed. We have others. But we close 18 to 20 a year. That isn't even a tenth of 1%.
Yeah.
But the railroads now, and we've been urging them, actually probably in 3, 4, and 5-letter words at times that can't be used in the air, that you've got to get out your checkbook. And they are. They're now, they'll step forward and pay $7,500. We can match that. So that means a township will get $15,000 to close the crossing. Now, lots of times you can't. But without naming cities or villages, we'll have, for example, 5 crossings we had one place. We only needed 2. We voluntarily negotiated down to 3, and we'd have people show up at the hearings and just berate us, telling us it would take us much longer to go and visit their friends. It took me a while. What that meant is they didn't have a straight shot across the tracks to get to the bar on the other side. They had to go 2 blocks down and go through the signalized crossing. Now that I can see through this rhetoric, I'm not too sympathetic to those. But with this, I'm proud to tell you, and I've got a good staff and the help from the railroads, rail traffic is up 40% in the last decade. We've cut the accidents in half, the injuries in half, and the fatalities by about 55%. So maybe this approach that we're using, and we don't have any increased budget, we've had to lean on the railroads to come forth and help us. And if you've ever talked to somebody in Montreal, they answer the phone in French. Or in Calgary, there it's in a western twang, or Omaha, or Fort Worth, and work through the chain to tell them why they need to spend $20,000, $30,000, or $40,000. For a while, they used to hang up on me. However, let's put it this way. They're coming around. They don't want these accidents either. But how do we get a better alertness with the public? Larry, I'll tell you, I don't know. But these aren't toys that cross the track. They're big, heavy. The average freight locomotive now is 400,000 pounds. A lighter weight switcher is 275,000 to 300,000 pounds. The average merchandiser in a main line at 60 miles an hour is 10,000 tons. Let's even say you have a nice Buick at 2 tons. That's 5,000 to one.
Rod Crunan, Wisconsin's Commissioner of Railroads, our guest here on the Ideas Network. Talking rail safety issues in Wisconsin now with Rod Crunan, Wisconsin's Commissioner of Railroads. Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you listening in. If you have a question about something in your area that's going on, or maybe just a general question, too, about rail safety, we'd love to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. And Lily in Fitchburg is online, so let's just go right to Lily. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi there. I had a question. Is it Canadian Pacific that has the small yard in Portage?
Yes. It's not a real small yard, but I'd say medium size, but that is an important crew transfer point.
Right. That's why I was asking, just because I wanted to get the railroad right, but I have an acquaintance who works for them and was laid off this winter, and, of course, the management was really tight-lipped, and there was no explanation about what was happening and why. But apparently this was very rare, that it hadn't happened in a long, long time. And happily he's been called back. But I'm wondering, you know, if you have an opinion on what happened there and if it's a trend in the industry or, you know, if you know anything about
that. Well, the steady trend in the industry is where they're hiring, particularly on specialties. Operating crews, they're now going through and training more. They, at Portage, for example, the Canadian Pacific, the old Milwaukee Road, is expecting 40% retirements by 2010. So our office has a list of their websites, and that could be reached, the 261-8221, and our secretary can mail you a copy of the websites to apply if a person wanted to. But railroad signalmen right now are in very strong demand. I think their general pay is about $28 an hour, and I know the Union Pacific pays a bonus under certain circumstances. See, the railroads are becoming much more involved with electronic controls, computer controls, but traditionally, the maintenance of way and B&B, building and bridges, have been laid off during the winter. It's hard to do a lot of the repairs. That's brutal work, even in the summer. Was that your friend's line of work?
This person was a conductor, recently hired, actually, and the whole class was laid off. But I'm wondering, do you think it's a good area for a young person to go into these days?
I would surely think so. The demand is building, plus with the retirements, you have two different issues coming together. And as he builds up in seniority, that's going to help.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Kelly. Our Lily, excuse me. Ed, your turn next from Presque Isle. Hi, Ed.
Hi. This is kind of a spinoff from railroad safety, but it's kind of a history-oriented type of thing. And also that relates a little bit to bike paths, et cetera. And what I'm talking about is up in Vilas County and lots of places. They're all kinds of abandoned railroad, and I'm going to use the term right away. I don't know if I'm using it correctly. And I'm interested in a couple of things, how to find where these places were or are, the history of that right away, and then what happened when that land, and I'll use the word abandoned. I don't know if it was really abandoned, et cetera.
In most cases, it was sold to the state. There is a process of going through to create the rails to trails issue. In fact, if we were to go back to the mid-60s, the 23rd of July, 1963, the Northwestern was able to drop their passenger service. Okay, we call that the day of infamy. Mm-hmm. Shortly after that, one of the routes from Elroy, Kendall, Wilton, Norwalk to Sparta was put up for sale. Myself and several other friends thought we'll run it as a railroad. Well, when you're 30, you have a lot of dumb ideas, so that was one. There was no business. It was deferred maintenance. We then advanced to the point where we were going to use it for a motorcycle trail, we couldn't do that. I ended up going to Warren Knowles and encouraging him that to help us find a way to save it for a bicycle trail. All right, so he sent me with a handwritten note over the Conservation Commission, which is now the DNR. So this tells you how old it was. But, yeah, my price on it was $12,500, $9.78 an acre. The DNR did purchase that. That was before officially a Rails to Trails program. And it's become one of the premier bicycle paths. And the one that part was always of interest, on the end, up near Sparta, they couldn't find a way to get across the interstate. And that's a long story. So they stopped at a county trunk road that went over the top of the interstate. My handshaked agreement with the guys that went into the notes is that they would continue to put effort forth to complete the trail into Sparta. About 3 years ago, my daughter, going to La Crosse with some people, and she's an avid bicyclist, saw them building the pedestrian and bicycle bridge. She said, "Dad, 37 years after your handshake agreement at that meeting with the predecessor to the DNR, she was 6 years of age and heard that. That now completes the trail. It warms my heart." But there are many other spots, particularly up in your area at Woodruff, the Northwestern and the Milwaukee used to cross there. I don't even know if the remnants of the station are still there. Many of these lines were given back to the counties in the late 70s. Now we have an established Rails to Trails program, because once you get a linear trail, you never want to let it go. What could it be? Hiking, snowmobiling, power lines, fiber optics. Who ever heard of fiber optics even in the 80s? These are very valuable. But usually your best source of information is your county planning officer and somebody involved with the recreation, because these are good tools. We have many people that come from Illinois, go up there and will rent a cabin for a week and will bicycle these routes. If you bicycle Elroy, Kendall, Wilton, Norwalk to Sparta, boy, that warms my heart.
I've biked that. It's a wonderful bike ride.
Isn't that something? In fact, at the time we were working on it, we got them to keep the rails down to start. And after a year, I got called to Chicago, and I remember the fellow sitting across the desk from me. He had this big cigar, and he says, "I don't know what you want it for, but we need the rails. We need the rails to meet payroll." I understood, so I got him to leave in the bridges. So we took a group of cyclists, about 40 of us, we went up to Elroy, unloaded, then rode the track, and we get into Kendall. And they had already paved over where the rails were, but the station was still there, and there was an elderly fellow. Well, at the moment, I wouldn't think he was elderly, but he was 75 or so. I'd call that a youngster, sitting on his three-wheel bike with a crook pipe. And I said, "What do you think?" He says, "I understand there's a group from Madison. I wanted to turn this into a motorcycle trail." "Yeah." And he says, "And they were supposed to tear down all the buildings." And that was part of our agreement. "Well, here's the station in Kendall." And I said, "Well, the station looks like it needs some work." He says, "My great-grandfather came here from Ireland." We got pictures of him on a glass slide of this. He says, "I hope they could save it." So in dealing with the Conservation Commission, one of our handshakes was they would give the station to Kendall, Wisconsin. And if you go up there, it's their historical museum. So
it's a great
little
story.
Did the guy know that he's talking to the guy that was supposed to stare down the station. But it just hit me so. If his grandfather came from Ireland and got off at the station, let's give it to him. So we made some progress.
Good points. Thanks, Ed, for calling. Good luck. Troy in Reedsburg, it's your turn. Hi, Troy.
Hi. My question is, I'm wondering, I'm concerned about a crossing in Reedsburg, Wisconsin on Highway 33 that they redid the main road through town here like probably 8 years ago, and the crossing is getting so bad that there's like a 3 to 4 inch difference between the cement and the railroad bed, and when you go across it with a car and it doesn't run straight across, it runs at an angle.
Yeah, we call that oblique. Here's the process. You need to have the road authority, which could be the city, At the most, it's the DOT. Contact the railroad. The statute says they have 30 days to correct it, or we can then hold a hearing. It's a statutory responsibility. We run into this with the railroads all the time. I'm in weekly fights with them with 3, 4, and 5-letter words about get that damn crossing fixed up, because there's nothing more aggravating to the public. Now, you can't do it in winter, but Ben Meehan at the Wisconsin Southern has been very helpful in trying to get those done. But have your road authority get on top of the railroad, and if for some reason they're not getting a response, get back to me and I'll have another scrap with the railroads. It happens all the time. And by the way, those friends of ours in the town of Pleasant Prairie, Green Bay Road, Highway 31, we were assured yesterday, no later than mid-July, that terrible, terrible crossing over near the power plant is going to be corrected. We've had stern words over that, but the same thing will apply in Reedsburg. The public should not have to put up with bad crossings.
Okay, I really appreciate your time, and I just wanted to commend you on the bike trail. My family-owned company did a bunch of work on that one. It was first built, and I'm a truck driver. I just went under your Sparta crossing here just a minute ago when you're talking about it.
Oh, God, that warm! Isn't it nice to see that? So the bicyclists are safe going in. It helps it. Only took 37 years.
Well, give yourself a pat on the back. I think you're doing a great job with it.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you.
Karen in Lewiston, your turn. Hi, Karen.
Hello.
Lewiston, west of Portage?
Yes.
Oh, a wonderful township there. Your former town chairman, Leon Heinz, down at the Wolfram Road Tavern and Restaurant, I had lunch with him many times, and we got a lot done along there, didn't we?
Yeah, it's nice to know that it's not your fault, that it's the federal government and the railroads working hand in glove with taxpayers' money to shaft the taxpayer. Because this deal with the crossings and that, O had the one crossing closed, Moss.
Moss Road,
and there was talk about closing Industrial and Bake also. Now, both of those are used very heavily for workers that come off of O and cut across to it, and that would cause a lot of excess gasoline consumption in that. But the thing is, it is not a matter of getting to the tavern like it might be in a city setting. It's the fear that if there's a train derailment or a crossing blockage or a heavy blizzard, that the fire trucks or the ambulances cannot reach somebody in time on O, because we are basically river locked on the one side. So those crossings are very vital.
Well, and this is a strong consideration when we work on any closures. And remember, a lot of the roads would never be able to afford to signalize. Moss Road was a good example. But I think Wolfram Road, there was another one there that we got signalized. We got that older bridge torn down, and I believe we're signalizing Beck Road at this point. Industrial Drive is right where Trienda is, and of course that's where we had that terrible fatality with a guy in the semi-truck, as you recall, what, about 90 or 91? He came and he couldn't get into the gates, and he's running on the track, and his friend's in the sleeper. And along comes a freight train at 60 miles an hour, and of course his friend went into permanent sleep. Was a horrific accident on that. But we did work with Leon Heinz, who, those of you that didn't know Leon, was a wonderful soul. He was on the town board for over 60 years, and I think when he passed away a year ago, he was in his, 57th year as town chairman. You did not go to the town of Lewiston without going to see Leon to discuss things. But when there are questions that come up of that, call our office. Remember, when Amtrak leaves Portage, rounds that curve at Beck Road near that old Portage and the plant Cardinal Glass, that's right up to 79 miles an hour. The Hiawathas used to, when they were going further, they were 105 to 108 miles an hour before they entered the Dells. And they're 28 to 30, sometimes 32 freight trains a day. About three or four of them, 16,000-ton coal trains, that's really a heavy haul railroad, and it's going to get busier.
Yeah. Thanks for calling. Appreciate your call, Karen. Nick in Wausau, it's your turn. Hi, Nick.
Hi. First of all, I wanted to let your guests know that the depot in Woodruff is still standing, as is the one in Minocqua.
Well, that's
and,
good.
Second of all, I was wondering what your take would be on the plan to relay rails to Mineral Point.
Well, okay, what he is talking about, we had a Mineral Point branch line that was 130-some years of age when it was torn up in 1990. That went from Janesville to Broadhead to Judah to Monroe. That's still in place and has been upgraded. And then to South Wayne, where I have a lot of relatives, Darlington, and up to Mineral Point. I don't know if the economics are there for doing that yet. The case needs to be presented. But for a good estimate with bridges, and even if we're just using 115-pound rail, you better use about $120 a foot. And we had estimated at one time for the people at Belmont with that little branch that went from Ipswich over to Platteville, but to get to the a possible ethanol plant at Belmont, and I think we had 450,000 foot of track. By the way, that's big dollars.
Yeah.
Where is the $50 million coming from? So at the moment, I think the term pipe dream may be a fair description. Who knows what's going to happen if we end up at $5 or $6 a gallon gasoline? By the way, when I came up here, I had ethanol from Badger Ethanol. I don't use gasoline anymore. Mine's flex fuel. My money goes to the Wisconsin farmer.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. Jim and Van Dyne, your turn. Hi, Jim.
Yes, good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I'm one of those small farmers around here. Van Dyne is south of Oshkosh. Mr. Coonan would know where the town of Black Wolf is.
Well, and even below that, we're working with Chuck McCourt, just a wonderful soul, and Ernie Winter, your highway commissioner, and how we're going to solve the blockage problem starting at Subway Road, Kinker, Cemetery, then Lincoln, then under the bridge into Van Dyne. And as I recall, that tavern restaurant there had a pretty good cheeseburger.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yes.
Well, okay, and that's exactly what I'm calling about, because in the town of Black Wolf, the blockage problem is also acute. Those trains, they're waiting for them to come from the north through Oshkosh and to clear, and the roads are closed anywhere from 20 minutes, half hour, hour, 2 hours.
You need to call us when that happens or get to your town chairman. Your town chairman in Black Wolf is Frank Freschetto.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, they're lucky that they got that guy. On that route, I've spent in excess of $1 million over the last 10 years, and we had two closures at Swiss Valley. And was it Country Club Lane that we rebuilt the new road right up there down to Nakaimai?
Right.
That's a busy route. Remember, that railroad connects Vancouver to New Orleans.
Yeah, we know it's busy.
Now, and it's going to get busier. We do believe that the best solution, so we don't have the problems at North Fond du Lac, is probably to see Subway Road closed, and then on the east side, a connector road put up the old streetcar right away, and a bridge put in at Kinker. Then we would signalize Cemetery Road. Lincoln should probably be closed, and with a separate connector along the east side so they can turn there. The key is whose checkbook to put in the bridge at Kinker Road. That's always the problem. We think it can be done for about $2.5 to $2.6 million. Kinker is now, is that County Trunk N?
Mm-hmm, I believe so.
I haven't been there for a couple of months, but you're right in what that would do. It's an askewed mile, so that would give the railroad place, because there are two 80-foot right-of-ways. We used to think, by the way, there used to be 200-foot right-of-ways, but our surveying from 1917, I don't know all those wits, Larry, shows that there would be adequate space where the railroad could put in at least four additional lines for storage. So then you wouldn't be blocking anything. You know, you would clear Cemetery,
mm-hmm.
And Bill Gow, who's one of your retired deputies up there, had helped us on that. He was chief deputy for Fond du Lac County and met with a lot of the people. But Chuck McCourt, the town chairman of the Town of Friendship, has been very good to work with. We're trying to put the pieces of this puzzle together. I just don't have a checkbook.
Can I ask why the trains are allowed to be more than a mile long?
Well, we have no control on that. In many cases in the West, we see 2-mile-long trains. As long as they can operate safely and fits in certain FRA qualifications, I don't like them blocking Subway. I don't like them blocking Kinker. But my statutory control is zero. And when I talk to the top management of the railroad, there's an indication of maybe where I can spend my other time rather than harassing them on that. And while we have a blockage law in the state that says you can't have a standing train for more than 5 minutes, we are overridden by the feds. And when your district attorney in Fond du Lac County went to try to prosecute it, the railroads flew in an attorney from Washington with a 1.5-inch list of briefs after your district attorney reviewed it. The case was then dropped. So we have gone to the conciliatory, cooperative approach working with the railroads. We have made some progress, but I know it's not what it should be. But we know the solution is the bridge at Kinker. Do you know Chuck McCourt, the town chairman?
I do not, sir, but that's okay. What I think you have just told me is that you're aware of it, and I guess that's as much as I can ask. I mean, it's an inconvenience. I also appreciate the fact that it is a business, and we need all of that, and as a farmer, I need it too.
Yeah, but, that's right.
But it certainly is frustrating at times, especially when it just seems to me that in a state where we are divided pretty much on section line roads, everything is a mile long,
yep,
that those trains could be 10 cars shorter, and the problem is just about gone.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but the railroads would tell me, Cronin, you're not trying to tell us how to run the railroads. We've got to move this freight or that. But, you know, one of the adjustments that they have made that's put a big importance on North Fond du Lac, they put in that 40-mile-an-hour bypass track around the Stevens Point Yard. So the crews that start at Itasca up in Superior, they should be able to make North Fond du Lac in 10.5 hours within their 12-hour limit. So if they're so you're seeing a lot of crews based out of Superior go to North Fond du Lac overnight and then come back. And this has just started. I've suggested to the railroad that they should spend the money to build the bridge. And there was laughing on the other end of the line. However, we're getting closer because they need the capacity. You're very right. They're getting right up against the wall in capacity on stuff. But, yes, I am vividly aware of that. Check with Chuck LaCourt or Frank Frischetto, your town chairman, and how we've worked with them. We're getting someplace. And we haven't had many accidents up there since we've got all those signals put in, have we?
Jim, thank you very much for calling. And, Rod, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us as well today. We'll look forward to your next visit.
Yes, right. Good to be with you. Bye.
Rod Cronin, Wisconsin's Commissioner of Railroads, our guest. And it's always a pleasure to have him along. And he will be back again, and we'll talk with him some more about rail safety issues.